Jesus, as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they went. As they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well." We're thinking today about thankful faith, and one of the qualities of really the fruit of the Spirit that comes to us when we turn to Christ, one of the fruits, the overflowing actions, we have love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness. And so there's a faithfulness which responds to the Lord in a way that recognises his faithfulness. It flows over in our hearts. And there's that matter of thankfulness is part of that, really, where we faithfully begin a new relationship with the Lord that includes thankfulness. Many of you may know this passage okay, but just in case you've forgotten or don't remember it so much, in Romans chapter 1, one of the great problems that the human race had was that they ceased to be thankful. For we realise now the gospel's come, and one of the things Paul says is this: "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God's plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he's made. So they are without excuse, for though they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal human beings or birds or four-footed animals or reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity and so on." One of the prime things that took place in the fall is that humanity ceased to give thanks. And it's really a mark of a restored humanity to be a people who give thanks. It's a mark of being filled anew with the Spirit to have the life of Christ surging through you, to have his living hope so given to you that you become a person who's a thankful person. It's a gift of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's part of the new, being a new creature in Christ. When Jesus healed the 10 lepers of their terrible disease, only one of them turned back to thank him. And he was a Samaritan. And his thankfulness was a feature of true wellness. True wellness. So Jesus commended him, saying, "Yes, you've gone off and been obedient to that cleansing, but something else has happened for you. Your faith has made you well." Are you a thankful person? Is it part of your prayer life? Is it a mark of your faith? Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that you learn to give thanks in all circumstances, not for them. We're admonished to give thanks in those circumstances, as painful as they may be, and some can be very difficult. No, we don't have to say, thanks, I'm glad this terrible situation's come along, but give thanks in the midst of that, that you're a good God. You're working all things together for good, and you're doing that for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And I now know, Lord Jesus, that you are for me. I know that you love me. I know that all of that's taking place is part of your goodness to me. And I thank you for your goodness. I mentioned a week or two ago that when Wynne Johnson was preparing to go home for the Lord, to the Lord, and people visited her in her last days, that as her bodily capacities decreased, she couldn't write the history of Clare anymore. She couldn't even get out of bed on her own and walk around and do some things she'd like to do. She was stuck there. But the things she started to say were fruits of the Spirit. She'd said things like, I'm feeling very thankful for a blessed life. Thankfulness to God's an important quality to have as we go about our daily life. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you will discover what the Lord has done. The rest of it you probably know, but it's got to do with more and more. And so as you recognise the blessings that God has given to you and is pouring down upon you, your heart is turned towards him and you are a different person. You find yourself able to cope with things not going your way so much. In exchanging the truth of God for a lie, one of the telltale marks of sinful humanity is that they did not give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking. Round and round and round we go in our own thoughts until our own thought world becomes our master. We speak of mental health, but friends are one of the keys to mental health, and I'm not saying this is the entire thing, but one of the keys to good health is to become a thankful person. How does that happen? Well, it's to see the Lord Jesus for you, his love, his plans, his grace, and to be changed somehow or another through the Spirit's power coming to you. If your own thoughts are all you have, there's a futility, there's a pointlessness. You won't get a good, clean, clear logic about how life is. But if you know this one living, resurrected from the grave, and his living power is bearing down upon you, something wonderful changes and takes place. To become a thankful person's part of the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus that he had to be born from above. He had to have something outside of himself come to him to awaken him to what life was really about, who this person is. The Holy Spirit shows us that in the cross, the thankless, self-centred humanity was crucified with Jesus. Paul found of himself, he could say, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That great exchange took place. Christ became us. He became the thankless one. And upon Christ was the sin of the world laid, and upon him the judgment came for all of that. And he was crucified on our behalf. He gave us his own life, his own thankful heart. I thank thee, Father, Jesus prayed, for many, many things, but the Spirit stirred that thankfulness within him. By grace, we became new in him. He raised us up as members of the new creation, filled with thankfulness and assured of eternal life. That is our new standing. I'd like to just read a little reading to finish today about thankfulness and really about faith and how that faith works in you. Sometimes I found myself in the children's talk telling them what they should be thankful for and that you ought to be thankful. And we sort of get that even in our own heads at times. It sort of becomes a should do, must do thing. But it's really when the living Christ stirs us again to see what really is the case, our hearts arise with thankfulness. Let me just read to you a piece of thick theological writing. And I know you love to concentrate on that at this hour of the day. It'll be very brief. But if you do, you will find yourself blessed. Listen to this. Such is living faith in a living Christ. This is Peter Forsyth, P.T. Forsyth. If such a soul live, it must be as eternal king, that's Jesus' soul, eternal king of the spiritual world. Redeemed humanity would ever elect him king if they could forget that it was he who elected them. He is king, law and principle of the spiritual world, or else he's lost. His reign is either absolute or doomed. If he is not living, faith must dwindle and die. Do you think you can feed living faith on a dead Christ? You say, perhaps, living faith in God may now go on, even if we lost some faith in Christ. What? Could living faith go on in a God who could let such a one as Christ die? Who could disappoint the confident faith Christ himself had that God would raise him up to glorious life? How can you have living faith in such a God? Is he the Father if his most glorious only begotten Son be dead? A poor and undivine fatherhood, not so very much mightier than our own, if it has to see its best beloved perish and cannot help. If God did not raise Christ, but failed him after such a faith, how can he be more than a perhaps to any faith of ours? No, living faith, even in God, is faith in a living Christ. It is only such faith that can escape extinction. If he be a living Christ, he is not simply an immortal soul. He is not one of the many immortals, not even the firstborn among his peers. It is for those nearest him that he is most peerless. He is king of the whole realm of the soul. And it is he that keeps our faith alive. It is he that keeps our faith alive. Dear friends, you have a living Christ. He is blessing you with one spiritual blessing upon another. He is moving towards you to do you good, thoroughly you good. He has all of you in his mind and heart as he extends his deep friendship to you. He's borne your sins. He's given you a living hope. How could you not but be thankful? Friends, we have such great hope, we hardly ever really realise how fantastic it is. It is a hope for our own resurrection of our own bodies, and it is a hope for the entire creation, and that living Christ is in charge of every element and every fibre and every atom of the whole thing. That is why we can have a thankful faith. May the Lord add his blessing today. If you ought to give thanks and you don't, then give thanks. But better than that, if his living presence inspires you, may you give thanks in all circumstances and see what that living Christ will yet do. This is the message for today. Go in peace. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for you have come not only to those 10 lepers, you've come not only to the unthankful, but Lord, you've come to stir us and make us new. We thank you today, Lord, for all that you are. We thank you and praise you that you're the mighty one. And we thank you and praise you that you care deeply for the least of us, even more than a sparrow for which you love and care. So we thank you today, and we lift up our hearts and sing to you in thankfulness and praise how good you are to us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. My heart is